Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
To a vision I had a long time ago during worship, and it was partially the vision that birthed this house. But the Lord, without going into the entire vision, the Lord showed me a blueprint, and in the blueprint was what a blueprint is. It was a drawing of how He wanted something built. And what was very interesting to me on the blueprint, as I looked at the blueprint, the only thing I was expecting to see, buildings and architectural drawings and, expanded views of certain areas. But all that was on this blueprint that was rolled out on this table were people. The Lord builds with people. You know, money is nothing to Him. You know that? And He just spoke this whole world into existence. And He hasn't run out of words. You know what I'm saying? Like, His economy is not our economy. He operates under a different economy than we operate in. But the Lord took me into this vision, and I felt like there was a hastening of the timetable of the Lord in some of these plans that He has in our lives. Does that make sense? I the sense that I got was what He was speaking to me when He first showed me that vision. And by proxy, you, as being part of that vision now, there was an urgency to begin operating in some of these things that He has spoken into our lives. And so as we come into 2013, I want you to begin to pray. What is this next year going to look like for me, Lord? You know, January 1st is just another day on the calendar. It could just be the start of something entirely new. It's really up to you. And what I really encourage you is, you know, a lot of people make New Year's resolutions. That stick for about a week. It's highly unlikely that you're going to make radical shifts just because the calendar changed, right? Let's be honest. It's highly unlikely just because it went from December 31st to January 1st, all of a sudden you're going to be another person, right? There's a reason you are the way you are right now. And most of those reasons aren't going to go away just because you get a new calendar, right? I'm part of a weight loss challenge right now. I know it doesn't look like I need any. I understand. I'm just trying to support the... No. And when you decide to lose some weight, it's like any other life change. We tend to think in radical steps. It's all or nothing. And if we fail a little bit, we give up. And sometimes it's just those incremental changes. You know how we talk about how the enemy just wants to shift you 1 degree at a time off of God's plan? It's the same way when you get on track. It's not like, last week you were eating terrible, or you weren't able to control your mouth, or you weren't a great worker, or you weren't getting any sales at your job, and then the next day you're going to be, the perfect worker, you're going to lose all the weight, you're only going to eat, vegetables, or, whatever. It's highly unlikely that you're going to go from not studying at all in school and getting straight F's to the next day you're going to be the model student. It doesn't work that way. And so what you have to do is say, okay, here's something I can achieve right now. I can get a little bit better this week. I'm going to go for all the way. I'm going for everything. I'm going for it all. But I'm going to look back on the week. I'm going to say, okay, last week I had 21 really nasty meals. This week, as I look back on it, I had about 15 bad meals, but I had 6 good meals. That's a win. That's a win. And the enemy's going to say, well, look, you ate those 6 bad meals. Yeah, or you, 15 bad meals. But no, it's... I ate 6 good ones. Next week I'm gonna go for 9. You hear what I'm saying? I want 21, but 9 I'm gonna rejoice in the 9. I want revival in Boca Raton. But does that mean when 3 people give their life to Jesus, I'm gonna say, well, that's not revival? No. I'm gonna rejoice with the 1. Amen. I'm gonna rejoice with the 3. Amen. If anybody said to you, well, that's not revival, let's not rejoice over 3 people giving their life to Christ, what would you say? You said, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. But what do we do in our lives? If it's not perfection, we throw it out the window. Let the enemy come, bring condemnation, bring all this. No. What's next year going to look like for you? It's up to you. Is it going to be better than this year? Well, you got something to do with that. And so I want you, number one, I would like you to begin to seek the Lord for January, what the Lord is going to be doing in the next year. And the Lord has been talking to me about hastening. And when the Lord is talking to this house about hastening, that means some of the plans that have been on the back burner, he's going to bring an acceleration to for the coming year. Is that good? I'm talking about an acceleration in this coming year. I mean, and when there's an acceleration in Christ, that means it's easier to walk into things. There's a greater grace. You get to, I mean, you just God's like, my plans are to go faster. Would you like to come? You're like, yes. I'm on the bus. You're driving. I just want to get involved. I just need to get on God's bus. You know what I'm saying? And so in this coming year, I really want to challenge you. Okay, what do I have to do to line up with God's plan for this coming year? I want you to pray that. I want you to pray. Will you pray diligently, church? Will you pray diligently about what does that mean for you in this coming year? Yes? Will you? Okay, I weren't sure there for a second. I want to make sure that we're going to do that. I'm going to pray diligently that they get a new air conditioning system playing in this room. But, you know, we do have a flame on our logo, though. I don't know what to... You knew what you're getting into when you showed up. So. You can't pray for fire and then complain because it's hot. Thank you. Thank you. So, amen. I guess that's all I had right there. I just wanted to share that at the beginning. All right? So businesses, new plans, 2013, pray into it. We're going to have 21 days of prayer and fasting in January. I'm not exactly sure the date we're starting. There we go with that. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. You like our new stage setup? What do you think? Is it all right? Changed it a little bit. I want to look around, look at the graphic, and it's not there. I keep looking. Not there. It's not going to be there, is it? It's not going to be there. So, hey, the tongue and the interpretation. Good? You in Galatians? You there? We're gonna read it now. Galatians chapter 6. Starting with verse 1. You ready? The Word of God says, brothers. So who's he talking to? Talking to Christians, right? Not just guys. You know? Ladies got a, you know, you got a little issue, you gotta work out, you gotta be one of the brothers. Something the women. I was trying to talk to my son about how he's part of the bride. He didn't like that so much. Well, you're gonna be happy when you get to heaven, though. It's not being part of the bride would be bad. Brothers. Who's he talking to? Us, right? Talking to us. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3, for if anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Verse 6. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever someone sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And Father, we trust that you will bless the reading of this word. We trust that you will bless our time together today. Father, I pray by your Holy Ghost, you will do that thing that you do, that only you could do, that you could transform the inner man by your anointing, Father. That you would overwhelm this house right now with your love and your mercy. You would draw us closer to you. You would reveal, Father, you would reveal your love to us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen, amen and amen and amen. We're in this message series. We're in week 3 or 4. I don't honestly remember, to be honest with you. We're in our message series, The Heart of the Matter. And like it or not, what we have been dealing with the last several weeks is our heart and how do we cope with the relational storms of life. How do we deal with the relational storms that want to draw us into other people's drama, who want to draw us into realms that we don't want to go into, want to draw us into emotions we're really not trying to experience, who try to draw us into their issues. How do we deal with the storms of life that get us out of our peace into somebody else's turmoil? How do we get into that? How do we deal with that? And as we've talked about over the weeks is, historically, how we deal with that is we either lash out at people in anger, which we've found, you know, doesn't really help relationships that much. Did you know that? When somebody says something that bothers us, us screaming at them doesn't help as much as we think. On the flip side, we often will deal with these issues by shutting down and ignoring the problem altogether and not being honest with people. And what we're trying to work out is how to get our heart healed enough so that we can have honest relationships with people, so we can have honest conflict with people, that we can increase dialogue so that our relationships can be strengthened in the Lord. Amen? I mean, wouldn't you like to walk in less fear? Wouldn't you like that when you see that person, your heart doesn't tense up a little bit and a little adrenaline and fear hit your heart? Don't you want to live in a way that you're just kind of free around people? And we've talked about how to just maintain who we are regardless of how other people behave. And we've talked about being secure in who we are and who Christ has made us, to not have to react to those around us. And Jesus verbalized this by saying, I only do what I see the Father doing. He only reacted to the Father, not to those around him who wanted to push him into realms they wanted him to be in. They even were so bold as to say, you know, hey, we played a song and you didn't dance. We played sad music and you didn't mourn. What's up with you? He's like, you don't understand. I'm running things right now. And he was modeling that for us. We don't have to be controlled by the insecure people around us. And we don't have to forfeit our identity to other people's overbearing personalities. You with me on that? But at the same point, that doesn't mean we get to be rude and mean and uncaring. God wants us to be clean and engage the people around us. What does this have to do with anything, Pastor? You know, Jesus is coming back for a church, a bride, singular. He's coming back for a bride, not brides. He's not coming back for division or fractions. He's not coming back for fights. He's not coming back for any of that. He wants us to walk together, and we're going to talk about how to do that and the benefits of doing it. We're just going to talk a little bit. And in our scripture for this whole series has been in Proverbs 4:23, where he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the springs of life, or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life, depending on your favorite translation. It's all the same. He's saying, listen, what's in your heart is going to control your life. Watch what you let in your heart. You got to guard it. You got to be wary of people who want to attach something to your heart, attach something to your emotions, try to control you through your emotions, because that's where your whole life is going to go. You know, you put a bridle in a horse and the whole body has to go. And if somebody can get something in your heart, they know the rest of your life has to go in that direction. If someone puts guilt on you and shame, then they know that that thing will control your decisions. Likewise, in the kingdom, if you put encouragement in somebody's heart, that will encourage their decisions. It's our goal in this series to try to control what we allow into our hearts, so we can let the Holy Spirit bring us into the promised land, so to speak. Amen. But let's look at this. I want to juxtapose two things. I want to juxtapose how the enemy ministers to us as a perversion of what God wants to do in and through us. It's our goal to operate in the anointing in this house. It's our goal to operate in the anointing to affect this city and this county and this region for Jesus Christ. We want to be a spark of revival, not so we can be the church, just because that's what Jesus wants. And we really think Jesus should get what he deserves, which is everything. Starting with us. Starting with our heart. Our heart is the beachhead of Jesus as he invades our life. And we want to make sure, that's good right there. We want to make sure that place, he gets to fully own it so he can take over the rest. Amen? Amen. So as we look here in Galatians, it tells us, right in the scripture here, he says, to bear one another's burdens. Right here in the beginning, it says to bear one another's burdens. Now, one of the gifts that I think is least talked about and most perverted by the enemy is his burden-bearing gift. It's this burden-bearing gift. I believe that it's a it operates mostly in the soulless realm. What are you talking about, Pastor? You ever walk into a room and you just feel the anxiety? Or you just walk around somebody and you just feel their offense with you? You can just tell if somebody doesn't like you even though they didn't say anything? Some of you are like, I know all about that one. That's an extension of that burden-bearing gift. That's us being able to sense what one another needs in helping the other person in their time of trial. And again, we don't hear a lot about it, but the enemy knows that's how it works. It's in the soulless realm. It's not even spiritual. It's not even prophetic. And let me just set a couple of you free. Some people, you just walk through the mall and you can feel everything around you, the emotions of people around you. You just pick up on it. Let me tell you this. You have authority over that. You have authority over that. You don't have to open yourself up to every feeling in the room. Some of you think it's a prophetic gift. It's not. It's soulish. Every human being is able to do that. Some people are particularly gifted because they're designed to operate in the gift of discerning of spirits, though it hasn't been discipled yet. So they just, everything gets in. Good, bad, ugly, wicked. It all gets in a big mix in their spirit. And they don't know what to do with it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so you're around some people and they're all depressed and you get depressed and then next thing you know, you're trying to make them feel better and you're trying to do stuff and you feel bad because you can't make them feel better as if it's your job to make them feel better. When Jesus didn't put you on the cross to bear that. And the enemy knows that's how it works. He knows that we're designed to bear one another's burdens. So when you start picking up on that burden, you'll start saying, well, it's your fault, you know. You know, when you said that thing a couple weeks ago, they're probably still thinking about that. And that's why, you know, they're upset right now. I think you ought to lay in bed all night and think about it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you know what I'm talking about. How come you get to go and buy that new stuff? You see how sad they are. You should be giving that money to them. How dare you be happy? Some people know what I'm talking about. That's a perversion of the burden-bearing gift. I don't deserve anything because they don't have something. That don't sound like my God. That's a perversion of the burden-bearing gift. And so the enemy wants to take this gift that's created to pull other people up, and he wants to use it to tear you down. He perverts the gifting that's in you until you can get the knowledge necessary to operate in the anointing for your life. Okay, let me say it this way. Just because you're able to see other people's emotions doesn't mean you're allowed to. You have to exercise this thing we call self-control. And that's a hard thing in this day and age. It's like a bad word in this day and age, self-control. I thought I'd just do whatever feels good. No, in the long run, that didn't work out well at all. Self-control. Okay, what does that mean? If people have not asked you into their life, you don't get to look into their life. In the natural, I mean, imagine if you know, Cynthia here, you know, I'm her pastor, you know, right? And so what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I might just show up at Cynthia's house and start looking through her mail, right? Is that okay? No, that's not okay. Or Robin here says, you know, I'm really concerned about Sarah, you know? And, you know, we know each other. We're not close like that, though. But, you know, I just have this gift of knowing things. So I'm just going to figure out how to tap into her email and just start reading it. I'm just going to look through her emails and see if there's something wrong in her life so I can let her know if there's something wrong that I see. Hey, Sarah, you know, can you imagine? Hey, Sarah, how do you know? I just wanted to talk to you a little bit. I've seen some things in your life. Whoa, what do you mean you've seen some things in my life? Well, I was going through your email. You know, I sent some message using your Facebook account. And I just, whoa, that's a little weird, right? Would that be weird? Would you welcome that into your life? I mean, oh, I saw you had some, hey, Sarah, I saw your FPL bill came in, so I went ahead and paid it. Ooh, that's weird. How did you know I had an electric bill, and why are you paying it? This is strange. Well, I felt really bad because you had the bill, and so I'm just going to be going through your bank account now and see what's coming up So I can just see what bills I can pay. And I'm sorry, I really can't pay your gas bill this month. Like, whoa, why are you in my life? Right? That would be weird, right? Yes? We do that spiritually all the time, though. Why is that okay? Hey, I was just looking around into your life here, and I just thought, whoa, I have not invited you into my life. Whoa. And so you walk through the mall picking up all these emotions, thinking, oh, that must be God just showing me what's in everybody's life because God is a gossip. God is not a gossip. That's not God at all. That's you operating in a soulish realm with a spiritual gift. And you have to exercise self-control and just say, no, I'm not looking for accusation in this person's life. I'm not looking for the issues of their life. I'm here to be a blessing. And I'm not picking up anything negative on people. I'm just not doing it unless they invite me into their lives to look around. And when you come into a trusting relationship with people, and you become an encourager, then they, once they trust you, you know, you can only correct people to the extent they know that you love them. Don't go up to people you don't know and think you're going to speak correction and say they're rebellious because they don't want to receive it. Oh, they don't know I'm a prophet. No, you don't know that you're not a prophet. That's the problem. That's the real problem right there. Get to that in a second, though. Getting ahead of myself here. I feel this is like two lines of my message, and I just can't get off of it right now. We may stay here all day. I don't know. I need y'all to get this so I can move on. We're called to be a blessing in people's lives, all right? All right, don't over-spiritualize what I'm about to say. I have seen, and this is just me. This isn't Scripture. This is me outside of Scripture, okay? So I'm not equating this to Scripture. This is just my observations. Many times when people are obese, it is a natural manifestation of what's happening in their spirit. They take in stuff, and they don't know what to do with it. It's got nowhere to go. And they just take in too much stuff, more than they can operate with. And so it weighs them down. And a lot of those same people become physically obese because they take in too much and have no way to put it out. They don't know how to stop the stuff from coming in. And so we just say, well, why don't you just eat less? Well, obesity has very little to do with eating too much. It's generally the not everybody, some people don't, let's not get weird on this. You know what I'm saying, right? Some people, you know, you're just lazy. And other people just have a hormonal problem. And some people just got bad genes. Can we just be honest? Some people just got bad genes. They just came out the womb 15 pounds, you know? And the growth curve was like this since then, you know? But you understand what I'm saying. And so there's this, there's people who take in a lot of soulish stuff and don't have anything to do with it. And they get weighed down emotionally and spiritually. And we got to learn to say, you know what? That's not my problem. It's not my problem. I will pray for you. But when I get that burden, here's the word you need to write down. If I'm talking to you right now, if this makes a lot of sense to you, if you're like, this man is reading my mail right now, he has been hearing my thoughts. Here's what you have to do with this. When you see the burden, you have to, are you ready? First of all, you have to recognize that you are not the Messiah. You are not Jesus. You are not the Savior. You are not the Deliverer. You need to get that burden. You need to learn how to leave it at the foot of the cross for Jesus to bear. If you have this gift, or this gift is heightened in you, that you see the burdens in people around you, that is not for you to fix, necessarily. That is for you to learn how to take those burdens to Jesus and leave them at His feet. What you may have to do is learn how to pray until you get breakthrough. And you pray for people, and you pray for that burden until you feel a breakthrough, until you feel that the Holy Ghost has heard what you said, until the Lord lifts that burden, and then you move on with your life. Yeah. And that may take a while, but you got to learn how to do it. Yeah. Otherwise, you just carry it around, and you cannot bring them the breakthrough that they need. Yeah. Only Jesus can. Did you get that one?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. I can move on now. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. I've messed up my message entirely. The Lord is perfect. Amen?
Amen.
It's important in this scripture, in the midst of this burden bearing, in the midst of this relating with other people, to have an honest reflection of who we are. You know, we have to know what the condition of our heart is before we can fix it. Luke chapter 6 says, no good tree bears bad fruit. Praise God. That's me, right? He says, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is known by its fruit, for figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. Here's what I want you to look at. Verse 45. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. The evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as we're looking at the condition of our heart, I want you, instead of trying to do some sort of inner healing, looking into yourself, looking at your heart, Lord, show me what's wrong with me. When I'm looking for things that are wrong with me, I've always found something. You know what I mean? I've never said, what is wrong with me? Nothing. Wow, I'm awesome. That's never happened. If you look for what's wrong inside of you, you are absolutely bound to find something. That does not mean that's what God is looking to work on. Because we're flawed. We're a fallen creation. You know, we're just fallen. Here's what I do want you to do. I want you to begin to listen to the words that come out of your mouth. Because we all have issues of our heart that we're working on, that we're overcoming. Some of us have issues that come into our heart and we don't have victory over, but we're not letting it take over our lives. And that's good. But other things you don't recognize until they come out of your mouth. And you don't know often until you're squeezed what's in you because it comes out of your mouth. When you get in that situation where you're squeezed, where that person comes against you, when that person begins to say things that you absolutely disagree with, when you get to the end of your rope, when you feel like you're defeated, what then is coming out of your mouth? Yeah. Or let me say it this way. When somebody begins to walk in the victory that you wish you had, what comes out of your mouth? When somebody that you think should be behind you all of a sudden appears to be in front of you in life, how do you speak about them? How do you talk about authorities? How do you talk about, as Paul calls it, rulers? How do you talk about these people? What is coming out of your mouth? Words of blessing or curses? Because that lets you know what the tree is. Because a good tree can't bear bad fruit. So you're judging me. I'm judging the words you've spoken. Because I'm judging the words I've spoken. Get in some relationships where people say, bro, what are you talking about? That's crazy talk. You know that's sin, right? Okay, I'm not going there. Hallelujah. And so the enemy, in the midst of what he's trying to do against the church, and this isn't a message about the enemy, it's about victory. It's his goal to use words to bring division in the house. It's what he wants. He always wants to bring division. It says in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it says they were together, but the Greek there, the word, literally is saying they're all in one accord in one place. They weren't all just in one room. Because how many of you know you could be in a room with somebody but not be together? Yeah. Not together. You can go to a courthouse together and get married. You can go to a courthouse together and get divorced. Just because you're there together don't mean you're together. So the Bible says that they were all together in one accord, and that's when the Holy Ghost was poured out. The Lord is letting us know, hey, listen, y'all got issues, every single one of you. But when you start working out your interpersonal issues, I get to come in more power. The enemy knows that. You know the enemy only has spiritual vision? Mikey, did you know the enemy only has spiritual vision? It's true. He doesn't have natural eyeballs. So he doesn't see things the way we see things. Thank you. Who said that back there? I'll preach to you. All right, Kevin. Y'all are underneath the camera, and they're going to hear every comment you're saying off the camera. I know that probably sounds cool, but people are going to watch the video, and all they're going to hear is you guys. Just putting that out there. Like Chris, and y'all are right underneath the camera. Just putting it out there. It's right over here. Yeah. Anyway, we love you though. Excellent. So the enemy, I want you to see this. The enemy, you know how we say you got to see things not just in the natural but in the spirit? He can only see things in the spirit. So he's not fooled by appearances. You get this, right? He's only seeing things in the spirit. So he's working on levels you don't know about because you're ignorant to the devil's devices. Oh, but look how famous he is. And the enemy's like, yeah, aspire to be that. Because I'm breeding idolatry and lust in people. Yeah, look up to him. He says he's a Christian. What's the fruit? I'm not trying to make you suspicious, but I'm just saying, let's not judge things by what they look with our eyes. God doesn't judge that way. The enemy doesn't judge that way. They're both working in the spirit realm. It's not over flesh and blood. What happens in this natural realm is a manifestation of what's happening in the spirit. It says, out of your heart comes the issues. Out of your heart come the words that control your life. It's out of your heart the mouth speaks. And clearly, you know, voice doesn't start in your heart. So he can't be talking about a natural thing. He has to be talking about in your soulish realm when he talks about your, what is operating in your soulish realm, this natural spirit realm, this first level spirit realm. What's happening in there is what comes out of your mouth. And it's our goal as Christians to allow our soul to be submitted to our spirit, which is connected to the Spirit of God by salvation. And we want to get our soulish realm not to be a slave of the flesh so it brings about curses and the enemy's plans, but to be submitted to the Spirit of God by the awakening of our spirit through salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to come in agreement with God's plan and begin to speak these things out of our heart. Oh, enemy, you had authority in this realm, but now I'm taking back authority through my words. I refuse to come into agreement with the enemy, and now though you curse me, I speak blessings because I don't come under your plan. Is this making sense? Okay, the enemy wants me to feel bad about this situation and to come underneath it, but I'm going to be a real burden bearer. I'm not going to take on your guilt and condemnation. I'm going to take that feeling to the foot of the cross and let some healing come into it. Oh, you thought you were going to get them and me, but I'm going to set them free because you put it on me. See, I'm a burden bearer. I don't know what to do with the burden. Since I'm a burden bearer, I take it to the foot of Jesus, who knows how to bear the burdens of the world. You understand what I'm saying right now? Because I'm not ignorant of the enemy's devices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, we're involved in a level of spiritual warfare. You see, God already won. We're not fighting his battle. We're not. He's going to be victorious regardless of what we do. We talked last week about there's not a fight between God and the devil. There's a fight between us and God. There's the battle right there. Are we going to listen to him or not? Because he's fine regardless. Nothing we do is going to upset him. He's like, I lay before you life and death, heaven and hell. Cheat sheet. Choose life. He's like, I already did. I'm set. I'm chilling up here. Y'all work all this out. I gave you the rule book. I even let you know how everything ends, you know, so you don't have to be wondering. I win. Get on the winning team. I'll tell you what. I'll go ahead and win for you. I mean, here's what's awesome. Can you imagine if you got drafted to like a sports team and you get to pick what team and you get to join the team right at the end of the finals? You're like, all right, what team wins the finals? I want to be on that one. I'm a world champ. That's awesome. Give me the ring. Put me in the record books. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm talking about here? That's what Jesus did. Okay, I just want to let you know, in the end, I win everything. Now choose your team. I don't know, the loser or the winner, I don't know. Hellfire, everlasting peace. I don't know, this is a hard one. Many mansions with gold streets, huh? Well, they have where the fire doesn't quench and the worm does not cease. I don't know, this is different. Not sure where I want to go with this one. This is so, but I get to go to the club every now and then over here. You know, there is that everlasting fire. I don't know. I don't know. I get to be disrespected by men if I go that team. I don't know. Friends that lie to me. I don't know. I don't know which team I want to go to. It's a hard one right there. I'm going to start working it out next year. Now you probably won't. It's now or you probably won't. Just want to say. See, we're in some spiritual warfare right now. And we're in a battle with a spirit that operates in the spiritual realm. Now, this sounds simplistic, but I want you to hear it. We're not in natural warfare. What things look like with our eyes is completely irrelevant. The battle is spiritual. We're battling a spirit. And Jesus said it's what's in our heart determines where we're at in this battle. Right? You with me here? You can leave the baby in here if I can hold her at the end of service. That's like the deal right there. Okay. That's the sound of life. You're good. Go ahead. Okay. Okay, you get this, right? It's a spiritual battle. Now, in this church, we believe in impartation, yes? Yes, we believe that someone with a strong gift can lay hands in God's timing and the Lord could transfer that anointing, yes? Absolutely. You know, the enemy believes in that also. The enemy fully believes in impartation. Let me tell you how this impartation works. He uses gossip to impart bitterness, offense, judgment, and lack of honor. Literally, he uses that slander to impart to you the offense that that person is holding. You see that? Here's what happens. Out of an evil heart, we don't think that person deserves what they're getting. They treated me badly. How dare they be happy? How dare they still have friends? How dare people still talk to them? Well, I'll do something about that. I'll begin speaking badly about them. Hey, Daniela, how you doing? I have a great offense in my heart. I would like to share it with you now. Because what's an offense unless you can share it with a friend, right? Sharing is caring. So I'm going to share my bitterness and offense with you so that you can pick it up and you can be offended and bitter with me. Because if I get you to agree with me, then I'm right, right? Because if you disagree with me, then I got to deal with it. So I'll speak it around you so that you can either just, you can agree with me or just be silent. Being silent is enough. Because if you're silent, then I'll know that I'm right and you've reinforced it. And now it's sitting on you and you have to be wondering, he did say that thing about that thing. I don't know. Impartation. Impartation. The enemy wants to work a division in the church, and he uses impartation. Now, there's a lot of Christians who don't believe in the good kind of impartation. Yet they're operating in the bad kind of impartation. None of the benefits and all the drawbacks. I just say no thank you. My goal is to work the other way around. I want all the good and none of the bad. So people come up to me and say, hey, pastor, I want to talk to you about this person. I'm like, wait a minute, do I need to hear any of this? Think about it hard, because I don't want to have to clean my heart of whatever it is you're offended about right now. Because, you know, I'm a pastor, and there's an anointing on my life, but I'm still a man, I'm still a person, I still got to guard my heart. I still got to guard me, you know? And so people, are you walking in forgiveness? Well, how can I forgive? Well, it's easy, you say, I forgive. There it is right there. But they treated me so badly. Did they nail you to a cross? After beating you around Jerusalem, after you did nothing wrong. Did that happen? No. Then we have an example in Jesus of how to forgive. It's called, I forgive. And, oh, that's hard. No, it's pretty easy, actually. You just don't want to do it. It's hard to want to do it, maybe, but it's easy to do. Why is it hard to do? Because you don't want them to walk in forgiveness. You want them to be tormented, and you want them to pay for what they did. They deserve to be treated that way. And here's the problem with that. Vengeance is so volatile, only God can handle it. Vengeance is radioactive, man. It destroys everything around it. If there's anything unclean around vengeance, it gets destroyed. You walk in vengeance, and anything around that vengeance that's unclean will be destroyed. God is perfectly clean. Only he can operate in vengeance. And that's why he says in Romans, hey, listen, vengeance belongs to me alone. It is mine, and I will repay. It's Romans 12:19. You look it up. It's important, and it goes back to the old covenant. You walk in vengeance, and all you're doing is destroying your own life. The key is, you forgive, you leave them to God, and you go on with your life. And you may need to repent of your judgment. That's just how that works. We have to recognize our role in this entire event. How did I get here? You got to remember, John 10:10, the thief only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I come that they may have life. And I've never been bubbling over with life while I'm mad at somebody and wanting vengeance on their lives. Never. I've never said, I'm so glad that I hate this person. I feel so free now. This is wonderful. I'm going to call some more people and tell them how terrible they are because that just makes me happy. No. It's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil that wants you to drag you down into its nonsense. No, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We say, we don't react to this drama around us. We leave it to Christ. We walk free in our heart so we can walk in life. You getting this? Let's go back to our scripture in Galatians chapter 6. What's the root of this bitterness, and gossip, and vengeance? He says it right here. He ties the two together. Verse 3. If anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. If you think you're the judge, you have deceived yourself because you're nothing. Christ is the judge. And if you think it's your job to call people up and let them know how terrible somebody is, you have deceived yourself. Jump ahead to verse 8. Or verse 7, excuse me. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And when I heard the tongue this morning, I was pretty excited because it confirmed the Lord just gave me this scripture, the second half of the scripture this morning. Then we got the tongue and it said virtually the same thing. Verse 7, do not be mocked. Excuse me, do not be deceived. And don't be mocked, okay? Y'all walk in freedom. Don't be mocked. But do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever one sows, they will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Listen, it goes back to the psalmist who says, why do the wicked, why do the evil, why do those who come short of God's best, who aren't even seeking God, why do they prosper? Why, God, why do they prosper? And that is the judgment of the natural eye. Because the Bible tells us, if you don't stop doing it, you're going to reap a harvest. And that goes for sinner and saint. If you're living in evil and you do not stop, you're going to get a harvest of that wickedness forever. And already the fruit of it is destroyed relationships, a lack of peace, being robbed from the devil. But if you continue to work and toil in goodness, you're going to get a reward. Just finished reading a book. Anybody read Uncle Tom's Cabin? Uncle Tom's Cabin? Anybody heard of Uncle Tom's Cabin? Yes, all right. It's an amazing book. Millie read it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a reader. I read stuff. And I just let the Holy Ghost tell me what to read. Here's what's funny about Uncle Tom's Cabin. Can I just tell you the curse of one culture? Uncle Tom, of course, is one of the central characters of this book. And Uncle Tom, of course, is a slave who was well-respected. On the plantation. He didn't live in the house. He was a worker. The first house that he was owned by, which is just a wicked system. And the reason the woman wrote the book, Uncle Tom's Cabin, was to try to destroy slavery. After the beginning of the Civil War, the author of this book met President Lincoln. And President Lincoln said to her, so you're the young lady who started this war. With this book. See, knowledge is power. And she wanted to get the knowledge out there. But the central figure in this book is Uncle Tom. And again, if you're literate, you read the book. It's pretty good. And so, Uncle Tom is, this book, the point of this book was to let people in the North know that slaves are people and that Jesus Christ cares about them. And if you're a Christian, you can't be in support of slavery because you're not really saved. The whole book is about that. The whole book is about the slaves who get radically transformed by the love of God and get other people saved. So Uncle Tom is this slave who is so submitted to Christ that he refuses to do anything against his master. He won't run. He won't steal. He won't murder, even if he gets the opportunity to be free, because he knows his ultimate judge is Christ. Right? And he's sold into slavery, or he's sold from one plantation to another because of different circumstances. And he gets to one plantation that's just, it's wicked. The slave owner is wicked. He brags about the calluses on his hands that he's developed by beating his slaves. I mean, it's just an awful, 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 awful book. And Uncle Tom refuses to do anything that violates his relationship with Jesus in the midst of this terrible persecution. And he starts witnessing to the slaves around him, winning them to Christ, telling them, you can't be bitter to these people. Don't you know Jesus Christ is going to give us a reward on the other side? Now, there's a whole culture who calls Uncle Tom, it's a pejorative term. Because Uncle Tom didn't react in the flesh, he reacted in the spirit. See, there's a curse that comes with wanting to get yours. There's a curse with wanting, trying to get your pride, or they need to respect me, or they need to, there's this curse that comes with trying to win this power struggle with the people around you. You see, Jesus Christ won that power struggle. And those who recognize, I come into Christ's victory, I don't care what people around me, how they treat me, you get to walk in his peace. As long as you're trying to manipulate people to view you a certain way, as long as you need people to validate you so that you can be somebody, as long as your self-worth is dependent on the people around you, you're never going to win. Let's look at our scripture here. He says it right here in the scripture. Verse 4. Let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone. We're Galatians 6:4. Let each person test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. What is he talking about there? Boast in my neighbor. I'm not bad like him, and I'm more spiritual than her. Don't look at them, look at me. Don't respect them. Y'all are respecting the wrong person. You need to respect me. That's a trap of the devil. It's a trap. You stay faithful in doing what God has called you to do, and in due time, he will raise you up. Amen? Amen? Mikey, come. Let's stand. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to pray. I want to pray for two things. Hallelujah. I want to give you a choice today. I want you to be free of the judgment in your heart. I want you to be free of the bitterness. I want you to be free of this yoke that is dragging you into a soulless realm instead of walking in the spirit. All over this room, there's people today that I've said something today that has convicted your heart of how you've treated people around you, of how you viewed yourself and how you viewed other people. Christ has come today to set you free. Christ has come today to set you free of your judgment, of your bitterness, and from bearing burdens that you are never called to bear. Jesus has come to set you free. Hallelujah. Jesus has come to set you free this morning. Holy Ghost is here to set you free this morning. Hallelujah. He's lifting burdens right now. I don't know if you feel it or not, but I sure feel it up here. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Father, that you would move in our heart right now, that you would move in hearts right now, and you would set the captives free. that you would set us free from the judgment and the bitterness and comparing ourselves to other people, Father, that you would set us free this morning. We ask your grace to come upon us. The Lord just told me there's many of you, you're bitter and you're judgmental toward people who have the anointing that you want. And it's a plan of the enemy to rob you from the source. You need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive. You don't need to go to that person and let them know you've been judging them. That doesn't help anybody. Doesn't help you, doesn't help them. You need to take that to Jesus and ask Jesus to forgive you. If you've been gossiping to people, you need to go to them and you need to repent to them. I'm sorry I've gossiped with you, brother. I put something on you. I operated in a spirit of impartation. Forgive my words. Pray for me that my heart will be healed. I'll tell you, I know what I'm talking about right now. The Spirit of the Lord bears witness right now. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Let's start with this. Let's every eye closed. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. If you got a prayer language, pray. I feel right now that the Holy Ghost wants to save some people. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, there's people in this room and you're living in sin. And the Lord is saying, right now, it's time. It's time right now. It's time right now to get right with God. You're like, what am I going to look like? I walked up there before. No, it is time right now. The Spirit of God bears witness right now. Reba. Listen, if you're away from God right now, if you're trapped in a lifestyle of sin, or you've never known God, I want to welcome you forward. I'm not going to do the raise your hand, and that might be me. I want you to just come forward right now, whoever that is, all over this room. If you need to get right with God, I want you to come forward right now. Come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost, people. Right now, come on forward. Come on, give it up. Anybody else? You would say like today? I wanna make my account short with the Lord right now. I wanna pray one other thing. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need the anointing. You do not pray in other tongues. I want to welcome you. Come forward right now. You don't pray in other tongues. I want you to come forward right now. You're saved, but you don't pray in tongues. Come on up and line up right now. Who else? You're like, I don't have that gift yet. I don't pray in tongues. I want you to come up right now and line up. Anybody? Ask your neighbor. You got it? You got the Holy Ghost? Come on. Line up right here. Who else? You ready for the baptism this morning? Up here to sit behind him, and one man, ASD man right here. All right. Come on, give me a little more up tempo here. All right. Everybody else, you ready? We're going to have the baptism right now. I need one more woman right here. Oh, we got one. Yep, no, we need one more. Rabbi, though, come on. There, we got Millie right here. Go ahead, get behind one of these ladies. All right. Listen to me. Y'all up here for the baptism. Look at me. Here's what's going to happen. Is that you? Okay, listen. We're just getting it together. That's all right. You ready? You ready? You guys ready? Come here, Tracy. You sit behind her. Come here. All right, watch this. Here's what's going to happen. Jesus said that he would pour out his spirit and you would get a new language. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is your gift. This is a promise of the Holy Ghost, all right? Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pray. You're going to say amen, and then you're going to give him something to work with. You hear what I'm telling you right now? If you stand there like this, You are not going to be praying in tongues. It's not going to happen. So we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. And you're going to begin to give him praise with your mouth. And as you give him praise with your mouth, a new language is going to come out. Does that make sense? You understand up here? You get that? Yeah? Yeah? Don't be worried. God is good. She's already good. Bam! Right there. Bam! Right there. Hold on. Bam! Right there. I need to catch it right here. Bam! Right there. Fire the Holy Ghost. Fire the Holy Ghost. Okay, listen. Church, you ready? Stretch your hand. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, oh, here it comes right now. It's already coming on people right now. It's coming on people right now. Jesus said that your natural father gives good gifts. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Ghost to them who ask? Woo! Here it comes. Woo! He said it is a promise for you. It is a promise for you. It is a promise for you. Listen to me. Everybody up here. Come on. Look at me. You ready? Look at me. Look at me. You ready? We're going to count to three, and then we're going to pray that the Lord fill you, and you begin to give him praise. You ready, Mikey? Let me get my drummer. Can I get my drummer, too? I just feel something on this right now. I feel something on it right now. Come on, let's do this. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Come on. Spirit of God, that you would come right now and you would fill. That you would fill. That you would fill. It is the promise, Lord. So if you're up here, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Jesus. Say it, Jesus. I am asking that you would fill me with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and that I would speak in new tongues. In Jesus' name, receive the Holy Ghost.